words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Okay, to you Star Wars fans, and you know who you are, may the Fourth be with you. At the end of The Return of the Jedi, there are a series of epilogues. Ewoks and rebels celebrating on Endor, Luke cremating Darth Vader's body, and the Force ghosts of Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Yoda watching over Luke. These epilogues reinforce that peace had been restored. Did you know this chapter in John? It's an epilogue too. When you finish reading the last verse of chapter 20, right before this one, it sounds as though you've come to the end of the book. The story wraps up with this: these signs are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, you may have life in his name. I mean, a perfect ending. However, just when it sounds like it's all over, John adds this epilogue. Just in case we didn't get the message, John adds one more unforgettable story. This epilogue in chapter 1 finds the disciples back home. They must have been overwhelmed and confused and exhausted. Maybe to find some sense of normalcy, they return to doing what they know how to do. "I'm going fishing," Peter announced, and the others go with him. This is how we humans often respond to emotional overload. We retreat to what is comfortable, familiar, not threatening: our office, our bedroom, or a garden. But when the disciples retreat to what is familiar, to fishing, just as we might retreat to what is familiar to us, they discover Jesus is right there on the shore, and he is waiting to serve and nourish them. This epilogue reminds us that Jesus entrusts his ministry to Peter, whose life so far has been marked by doubt and denial. But just like Star Wars, this epilogue gives us a glimpse into the future. It does not end in a time and place long ago and far away. It affirms through the story of Jesus standing on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias that the risen Christ still empowers doubters and deniers for his ministry. What is the one thing this epilogue wants the disciples to remember? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus still calls us to feed the sheep. We honor the women of our congregation today who have fed, literally, thousands from our kitchen and continue to feed us. We honor the women that feed us spiritually, and there are too many ways to mention because they are in every corner of our spiritual life with teaching, serving communion, singing to the choir, and so much more. We honor the women that take the gospel outside of these walls and show the love of Jesus with ESL classes and a vibrant social media presence. The women of First Emmanuel will continue to feed his sheep for generations to come because we are the epilogue. Now I invite Sylvia Ross to come forward to introduce our guest speaker.
Morning Course Manual.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
I am very proud to be introducing our guest speaker this morning. She is the wife of our congregational member and church secretary, George Downing. She's the proud mother of two children, a daughter, Asia, and a son, Landa, and the proud grandmother of three grandchildren and two great-granddaughters, who recently learned that she will again be a great-grandmother to twin babies. In April of 1997, she was called by God to become a minister of the gospel, and she answered his call. She received her ministry teaching for 11 and a half years under the leadership of Bishop T.D. Jakes and his wife, First Lady Sarita Jakes, at the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas. Her first calling was to serve in women's prison ministry in Dallas, Texas. 5 years later, she studied to become a community lead chaplain as well as a traveling missionary. Her missions were in Nova Scotia, Canada, the New England states, and many cities in Alaska. She accomplished this because each mission was served on a cruise ship where she ministered to many people that were on board. After the mission field, she was led by God to join True Vine Believers Church, where she humbly received her certificate of license as a minister on February 26, 2012. I am grateful this morning that she answers God's calls, but she also answered the call of a grateful sister-in-law to be our guest speaker this morning. I'd like to give a First Emmanuel welcome to Mrs. Sharman Downing.
Good morning. Thank you, sis. Happy Women's Day 2025. Ladies, who are we? We are women. We are no different than the women of the Bible, and they were no different than we are today. This is not a comparison. This is simply an observation that brings us into this dispensation of time as to who we are today. We are Eve. We are Ruth. We are Naomi and Tabitha, just to name a few. As you know, according to Genesis chapters 2 and 3, Eve was the first woman God created. She was the first woman to give birth. She did not give birth once, but she gave birth three times. We all know who her sons were: Cain, Abel, and the youngest was Seth. Like Eve, we give birth also. Eve's name in Hebrew is significant. It's no coincidence the meaning of her name, which means life. Her name highlights her role as the mother of us all. Without Eve, mankind would not even exist. Women are not an afterthought. We have always been an integral part of God's plans since the beginning of time. Without us, there is no continued life. To this very day, God continues to use us as his tools to give life, and this will never end, not until the return of Christ. Ladies, who are we? We are chosen by God to procreate or reproduce. In Genesis 9 and 1, God told Noah and his sons to be fruitful and multiply the earth. Without us, they couldn't do that. So that was the woman's cue to do what needed to be done. The only difference in giving birth in ancient days and today must have been that they did not have pain meds, but we do. Thank God. Thank God. Genesis 3 and 16 states, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. This is a lifetime consequence and repercussion for women because Eve was disobedient and ate the forbidden fruit. I was always angry about that. God told her not to eat it. Her act of defiance and disobedience is a direct consequence of sin. One day while I was sitting in my quiet place, I asked the Lord, why are all of us women today being punished for something Eve did? We weren't there. In fact, we weren't even born yet. We were not the defiant ones. We were just one of your babies passing through. Why, Lord? Why did this happen to us? Y'all know what the Lord's answer was? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't have to answer me. He's the boss. He knows what he's doing. I'm supposed to listen, be obedient. In this case, we sure don't have a choice, though. Ladies, who are we? Like Naomi and Ruth, we are caregivers. We are kind and supportive of each other. We are teachers. We love one another, and we love family. Naomi was a woman in the Bible who lost her husband, Elimelech. After she lost her husband, she lost her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, became widows as well. Orpah chose to return to her people in Moab, but Ruth chose to travel with Naomi to live with her people in Israel. Ruth wanted to take care of Naomi because she loved her. She wanted to help her in any way she could. Naomi was good and kind to Ruth while she was married to Mahlon, so she wanted to return Naomi's kindness. Mahlon was a man of God and worshiped the God of Israel. Ruth's people were Moabites, heathens. They worshiped idols. Therefore, Ruth knew nothing about their God. While Ruth was married to Mahlon, he began to mention his God to her, the God of Israel. Ruth became curious and intrigued. In the meantime, the women in Israel would mock her, make fun of her, and call her names. They were very cruel to Ruth and Naomi. Naomi and Ruth continued to go about their business caring for one another, and eventually even caring for some of the women who mistreated them. Ladies, who are we? We are kind, even when it is not in our favor to be. Matthew 5 and 9 instructs us to turn the other cheek, and that's just what they did. Naomi also taught Ruth about the God of Israel. She did not explicitly teach her with words only, but Naomi taught Ruth with her actions and her character. Jesus' teaching in Matthew 7:16 states, "You will know them by their fruits." Ladies, this means we do not have to speak a word about who we are. We don't have to tell anyone who we are. People will see it in us. Ladies, who are we? We are teachers. We are women of God who are known by our fruits. Our actions should always speak louder than our words. Naomi and Ruth lived in a place where they were continually mistreated, but God promised to defend them. Psalm 68 and 5 speaks of God as a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. This scripture means that God is true to his word, and he provided everything they needed, including his protection. God's own words brought Ruth and Naomi before a man who would help them. This man was Naomi's relative. His name was Boaz. Y'all have heard the name of Boaz in the Bible. Their meeting was by no means an accident. It was a setup by God. God knows what he is doing. He knows when and how to apply a remedy to any of our troubles, all adversity, and all afflictions that we encounter. With God, nothing just happens. Boaz was a wealthy man and a holy man. Boaz was well known in Israel, and he was an important man. He had the means to take care of Ruth and Naomi. Eventually, Ruth married Boaz. After giving birth to their only son, Obed-Edom, Naomi was the one who breastfed him. This was Naomi's way of feeling needed, and she wanted to be of help to Ruth and Boaz. This help made Naomi a caregiver, just as we are today, with our family, friends, co-workers, and anyone else in need. God did exactly what he said he would do. He provided for them. Numbers 23 and 19 teaches us that God is not a man that he should lie. Sometimes the going gets rough, but God gives us strength to persevere when we need it. Psalm 46 and 1 states, God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. Ladies, who are we? We are women of God. We have strength. We have courage. With the strength of God, we are an ever-present help to those in need. By the way, were you aware that Ruth and were you aware that Boaz and Ruth were the great-great-grandparents of King David? Last but not least, I am reminded of a woman of God in the Bible whose name was Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. Her name means gazelle or gracious. Tabitha was a disciple of Christ. All Christians are technically disciples of Christ if we are actively following Christ's teachings. By walking in faith, we live as disciples of Christ in order to make disciples of others, especially those who don't know him. Ladies, who are we? Like Tabitha, we too are disciples of Christ. She was known for her acts of kindness. Tabitha was a seamstress who went throughout her community making clothes for anyone who was in need, especially the widows. She was a champion for the poor. Acts 9:36 describes her as a woman full of good works and many deeds. One day, Tabitha became ill and she died. The women were extremely distraught. They went throughout the community praying for Tabitha. They had faith she could live again, so they asked Simon Peter to pray for her and lay hands on her. After Peter prayed, Tabitha was resurrected. Ladies, who are we? We are women who pray. We are women who have faith enough to believe that our prayers are being answered. We pray for others because we too are women of faith. Tabitha continued to leave a legacy of faithful service to the Lord and his people. Acts 9:36 describes her as a woman full of good works. We must continue to strive to become women of good works and good deeds also. I'm not bragging about ourselves, but I am bragging about who we are through Christ, ladies. Who are we? We are women of God. We are women of good deeds, like Tabitha. We are the teachers. We are the caregivers. We are women of good works. We are women of good deeds. We are patient. We are kind. Through Christ, let us continue to leave a legacy of service for those who need us. In closing, I'd like to say something and ask you just to ponder it. Every time we take a breath, that's God saying, I love you. Thank you.